You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, hope you're having a good weekend. Welcome in to this edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week today. Oh, shoot, I skipped it. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 seconds. Always got to introduce myself. You never know who's a new listener. Today, we're going to talk Celtics, that beatdown that happened last night. Pretty rough for the standings. Part for the Pacers, pretty rough for looking ahead at the playoffs. So we'll get to all that. We'll hear from Wesley Matthews at the game. Got some good audio from him talking about the team's performance and what they can take away from it. Then we'll talk some Nets, who they play tomorrow. If you're listening, I'll probably post this today. So tomorrow should be a good one. Doesn't seem like anyone's going to rest. I waited to hear that news before recording. So should be a full battle versus a full battle, and the Nets need to win. So it should be a fun one. We'll start with the Celtics because everything went wrong. I mean, every single thing that could have gone wrong went wrong. Bojan couldn't score, right? And that's huge for playoff series, that the Celtics may have a blueprint to shut down the Pacers' best scorer. Darren Collison didn't play, but the guards couldn't get anything going. The starting guards were Matthews and Joseph. They were 7 for 18. Tyreek was 4 for 9. Holiday was 4 for 8. He's the best at 50%. And Holiday was shooting well again. That's his like 7th or 8th good game in a row of putting the ball in the basket pretty well, but was a little sloppier than he has been recently, finishing with 3 turnovers just to 1 assist. So, I mean, he's a rookie. This is what you're going to get when DC is out. But in general, the downfall was mostly their defense to me. Their defense prevented them from getting an out in transition because they couldn't get the stops they needed. Then they're playing 5-on-5, which they're just they're a pedestrian offense in 5-on-5. So that you know, it just grinds the game to a halt. That's not the way. it grinds the game to the halt for them offensively, which does not cater to the way that they play and score. Meanwhile, the Celtics have guys who can score in 5-on-5 scenarios, and they showed it. So this is where the star power for Boston showed up big time. Kyrie was the guy in the first quarter. I don't know how many points he had in the quarter, but he finished with 17 on the game. He set the tone early. Looked really good. In the second quarter, we got a healthy dose of Gordon Hayward, who had a historic game. He was 9 for 9 from the field. He shot 100% and had over 20 points. I couldn't catch the phrasing here, which is the first time that's happened for any Celtics player since the 1980s. So he's rounding into form for Boston, which it's been over a month now where he's finally starting to get better. All my Celtics people are that I you know, trust and follow their opinion of are really stoked about his development as a scorer, and looks like he's more like Utah guy. It took him the full season to recover, but you know, he's back to that level, which is bad for the Pacers. But on the flip side, I will say, there's a reason it hasn't happened since the 1980s, and I would not expect Gordon Hayward to be this good every game in the playoffs or anything like that. If they play, there is still a chance the Sixers fall to 4. I might talk about that at the end of this one. But yeah, Hayward was good, so Kyrie and Hayward good. Tatum got a BS foul in the second quarter through Holiday, but from that point through the end of the third, he was pretty good. He was 9 for 19 for 22 points. Game high, I believe, 22 points? Yes. And then Al Horford, their other star to me, sorry everybody who doesn't love Al Horford, was amazing on defense and was 5 for 8 shooting, 7 rebounds. He was a plus 20, which was the second highest on their team. That speaks to what he does for the team when he's on the floor. So the Celtics star power is just overwhelming. It's very hard to contain them when they have the guys who can score so well. Like Marcus Smart didn't kill the Pacers for once. That's normally what his shtick is. On offense, at least he was 1 for 7. His defense was still good. And yet they still were able to score 117 because they got contributions from their stars and garbage time. They were able to score some good points too. But, you know, those guys are good, and there's a reason this team is good. And Jaylen Brown didn't even play, so you can expect a little more offense from him than they got from guys like Rozier, who's terrible. And actually, if Rozier got sick and didn't play in the second half, had he been healthy, I think this game actually ends up closer. But Jaylen Brown would even that out to make it about the same difference. Now, Darren Collison missed this game, and he is a crucial offensive contributor. So, we can take away that small silver lining if you'd like to, but they lost by 20. I don't think Darren Collison's even close to a 20-point swing, if not more than 3 or 5. So, tough to have him out, but not the difference in this game. The difference was the Celtics defense was good. The Pacers defense was not. There was no water finding its level in that way. The Celtics defense was just the better one for the majority of the game. I think shutting down Bojan is the most telling thing to me to take away here. We've talked about the Celtics so much, so I don't want to drag on with, like, who are these guys and things like that, like, sometimes can happen. But if they can actually shut down Bojan, so he took his second shot and hit it in the second quarter and then missed all the other six of his shots. So first of all, he only had two shots at that point in time in the game. It had been about 17 minutes of action. So they found a way to cut him off from even shooting the ball. And then he was 1-for-8 from the field, so they found a way to at least defend him moderately well compared to other teams. That is frightening to me for a playoff series that the Pacers' best scorer and go-to guy, now that Vic's out, the team they will probably be playing, has all the tools necessary to just be like, eh, nope, we're going to cut you off. And they don't have another guy. They could with Collison, but super great at setting up things and making stuff happen with the ball. And it was evident in this game. You know, Matthews did okay in his return. He had 10 points on 10 shots, but, like, his, you know, he's got the one-dimensional moves. Corey Joseph's been struggling, although he did a lot of good stuff early in this game, showing off pretty much every single good thing he does with hustle and passing. He had 8 assists, but, you know, when he's shooting 3-for-8 and no one respects the shot at all, it doesn't matter. Thaddeus Young, they just weren't guarding. They had Daniel Tyson. That's when I noticed this in the second quarter. Daniel Tice was on Thad, and Tice was just guarding the basket. He did not care. Thad Young wants to shoot a corner three, go ahead. Thad's going to have to make those in a series, make someone guard him to get the spacing going and keep the offense alive. Now, the bench was actually okay offensively. All four bench players that played big minutes had double-digit points. Pacers actually had 7 guys in double digits and only scored 97. That's pretty crazy. But Sabonis was okay. He was actually, like, the driving force of the offense in the first half. Tyreek was okay. With 12 points and 7 rebounds, but it, you know, you just know it to, you know, Tyreek, whatever. McDermott hit 2 out of 3 threes in Baker's life, which is a big deal. He had 11 points, and Holiday, you know, I already talked about him shooting well. Those guys were okay on offense, but their defense was atrocious. The Boston bench, led by Hayward and Marcus Morris, and they mixed and matched pretty well because, with, you know, without Rozier, they went with Tice and played bigger minutes for some of their starters. Jason Tatum specifically played 34 minutes, and that is, reminder, 34 minutes with about 4 minutes of garbage time at the end of this game. So really out of 44. Their offense was good for the bench, but the defense was not. And if this team can't rely on depth to beat Boston, they can't beat them. So they're going to have to play better D on the second unit. I think moving Corey Joseph down with the return of Darren Collison will help in that way. And it sounds like DC might return against the Nets on Sunday because McMillan said they want to try to play the full rotation in that game, you know, smooth it out still. So that could help with that a lot, but it was rough. It was really rough. And TJ Leaf played 10 minutes and missed 8 shots. He was 0-for-8. His rebounding was good. He had 6-4 on the offensive glass, but he just missed so many things, and 2 of them were layups on the same position. It was a rough offensive game for him. The kids got in at the end. Sumner got a 3-point play, which was cool. Alzay Johnson and Colquhoun played, but nothing to report from them. It was just the Celtics just looked so much better in this game. And after last week, I was pretty optimistic because it was tied near the end on the road. It's like, okay, that shows you can battle with the team in the postseason this time. Not so much. So I don't think we can use either of those these games as barometers for the playoffs anyway, because the game is played differently. But if you want, you know, I think the type of person you are, or what you really think of this Pacers team, is which game you're going to try to draw your focus from as we head into the playoffs. But Boston looked substantially better in this one, so we'll have to see what happens. But now, let's take a break and then talk to Wes Matthews. Actually, a bunch of reporters did. I didn't ask a single question. I was just standing there. But Wes Matthews quotes from after the game in the locker room coming up, so stick around after the break.
The 4 seed is one thing, and we know the odds now heading into the playoffs and where you guys stand. But how important is it overall to leap into the playoffs with 2 solid wins against 2 teams like this that are coming up?
It's definitely important. I mean, you don't want to be limping into the playoffs. I mean, health is the number one thing, you know, above winning your last 2 or losing your last 2. Health is the important thing, and having the flow and the chemistry and a good vibe going into what's going to be, you know, hostile basketball. So we got to take tomorrow to get better, and we got to get Sunday. I get Wednesday, and I'm ready for the show.
Wesley, Nate talks a lot about kind of replacing the void that is Vic, especially in close games down the stretch, finding someone to be your closer, so to speak. Do you put any onus on yourself to be that guy, or who do you think best fits that role right now to be the person to step up?
We got
to
go with whoever's going. This is a team. This is one of the things that drew me to the Pacers is everybody touches it, everybody shares it. You know, the hot guy gets the ball, draw two, kick the ball. You know, we got to make the ball be the number one threat, not necessarily who's got it. And, you know, that's when we've been at our best, and that's what we're going to have to do. These last two games, on top of being dogs on the defensive end and going into the series against Boston.
Wes, how are you feeling physically right now as you get ready for the playoffs?
I feel better than I did 2 days ago. So that's an improvement. And it's just going to be a day-by-day thing, continuing to get stronger, more confidence. I don't think I was laboring at all out there. So, you know, this was good to feel like to get this game under my belt. You know, it's less minutes than I'm probably normally going to play. So that's to take account. But all in all, I'm ready to go.
Wesley, you've been a part of teams that have gone to the playoffs and I'm sure faced resiliency at times during the season. Is there a message or anything necessarily specifically that needs to happen mentally to get through this?
No, I mean, we just need to learn from what worked, what didn't work. We got a tough team on Sunday, and that's where our focus has to be. You know, it's going to be a difficult task knowing that I've never been in a situation where we knew who we were going to play, and we had just, you know, played them twice within the last 2 weeks or so. So that's difficult, you know, to try to not gear our minds and wrap around Boston, knowing that we got Brooklyn and we got Atlanta coming up. So it'll be a challenge, but, you know, it'll be a good one.
Do you feel like you can draw back to that game at Boston last week, especially if you do go to Boston for game number one, where you were a lot more competitive?
It doesn't matter if we were more competitive or not. We lost both the games. So we got to figure out how to win, not be competitive.
So then can you take something from these next two? Can that kind of start to springboard you for the playoffs?
You got
to
win them. That's what it is. We lost a close one. We lost a not close one. Both go down as losses. So we got to bounce back, get healthy. Take care of Sunday, bounce back, get healthy, take care of Wednesday, and then figure it out.
What's the matter, Jaden?
Is transition defense the key against this team? They had, I think, 26 points fast break, 27, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they've been averaging that against us last two games that I've been here. So take care of the ball, get good shots. You know, they kind of cross-match a little bit, so we got to be disciplined. We just got to pick up a man and not just a specific guy.
With Boston, how much is it just their firepower, having so many guys that can come off? Like, Hayward tonight going perfect from the field.
He went perfect?
Yep.
Yeah.
9 for 9.
I mean, I make stuff tough. Can't keep giving everybody the same look over and over. We got to crawl into the ball defensively, make people more uncomfortable. Shit, I don't know, 9 for 9. That just really pissed me off. We got to be better. We got to be better. Simple and plain.
Thanks. So I'm a big Wes Matthews locker room guy. He just, like, he tells it like it is. Right before, early in the recording, I had to cut it out because it was too quiet. Sorry those are quiet, by the way. It's hard to get good and loud audio quality on my phone in the locker room. But he said, you know, they have to be pissed off. You heard that in there at the end when he was heard Hayward's stat line. He was pissed off himself. He only covered him a little bit. But, you know, he and the team feel, you know, that it was somber in there after the game. I think they are mad. Like, they know that they can be better than that. They were literally 1 week ago better than they played in this game. And they know what they have to do to be better and beat this team. Matthews talked about, you know, the Nets play a similar style to the Celtics. They can figure some stuff out against them. Perhaps that's why, as we'll talk about in a second, they're not resting guys against the Nets. So, I mean, that's a big thing. I think they can get it right a little bit there. I think they're looking forward to that. But Matthews is just a good guy telling it like it is. This team, he's right. They have to be better. They have to be mad and, you know, get some passion in it and figure out what they can do to beat this team, because this game did not inspire any confidence in any of them or anyone watching that makes them think, oh, that they can definitely beat this team in a series. So we'll have to see what happens. But, you know, Matthews very, very good at channeling the thoughts of fans, so I appreciated that from him. One more break here, then we'll talk a little Nets and about the resting going on in that game. So stick around, we'll talk some Nets. You guys know the deal by now about Wyze, but I'm going to continue to tell you about how great they are until you guys get it and buy it and love it. Wyze, it's an indoor camera that does it all. It's packed with premium features that allows you to see everything for only $20 because we love you here at the Locked On Podcast Network. If you go to Wyze, that's WYZE.com/locked, you can get one of these cameras for only $20. 1080p HD stuff. Night vision, there's audio going two ways, so to the camera and from the camera to you. You can use it as like an in-home security system. You can use it to film you doing fun stuff. There's the free rolling 14-day cloud storage feature they've got that lets you keep everything up in the cloud so you don't have to use all this, I don't even know what it's called, storage. 8x zoom on it. It's really awesome. You want more, too, they have it. 360-degree coverage. Put it in the middle of the room, spin, see the whole thing. Life goes fast. Your camera should too. Check out Wyze. Go to Wyze, WYZE.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price and try out one of these awesome cameras. The Brooklyn Nets. So before we talk Nets, because of course something has to happen first, I was hoping, I tweeted this too, that the Pacers would be team rest the rest of the way. That's hard to say. Sorry if you heard that car, man, that was loud. They would just rest the guys the rest of the way. They're pretty much guaranteed the 5 seed. The only way they're not the 5 seed is if they win both of their games and the Celtics lose both of their games the rest of the way. And they're almost certainly going to play the Celtics. The Sixers have, I believe, 2 games against the Bulls left, and if they win both of those, they will get the 4 seed, or the 3 seed, excuse me. They do play the Bulls twice. So, and the Heat, who are not playing well. So, it's looking like it's going to be the Celtics almost certainly. Anywho, I thought they should just rest since they're going to be the 5 and they know their opponent. Just give everybody rest. There's 5 guys with 2,000 minutes. I believe that's Miles, Thad, Kojo, DC, and Bojan. That might be wrong. I think that is right, though. You know, don't play any of those guys. You know, maybe play Sabonis a little bit, but give O'Quinn big minutes. Give the kids big minutes. Just don't let anybody really important get hurt. You know, that's got to be the focus. Getting into the playoffs is resting. Kalen Cooper's doing a good job pointing out all the things that are worse as this team looks and is tired. So that's a bummer. They had a really busy month of March and late April back-to-back. You know, they played a bunch of games at the end of April, and then they played 14 games in March, which is a busy month. That's a tough stretch, especially with all the travel. So I was team rest. They're not going to rest, though, because Nate McMillan said today at practice, quote, if Darren, this is per the Pacers team account, if Darren can play tomorrow, I want to try to get back to our rotation. We may cut minutes, but we're not going to sit anyone. So to be fair to him, I actually think that that is a good point, that if Darren plays, they can get back to their normal rotation, get a little bit of rhythm for the two groups that they're used to before the last game of the season. And to be fair, if they win that one and the Celtics lose, then they know they're playing for something. But That is a good point. However, I still think that the move should be to rest. But they're going to try to play, and they're going to try to beat the Nets. And the Nets are fighting like hell for a playoff spot. They're 39-40, so right around 500. Good for the Nets. They have had so many bad years in a row. 19th in offense, 14th in defense, basically an average team, which in the East is, like, I guess a playoff team. They're currently 7th, but they are 1 game ahead of the 9th. Heat and 2 games ahead of the 10th Hornets, who Hornets keep sticking around. So the Pistons, Heat, and Hornets will all be rooting hard for the Pacers to win this game in the first help them get into the playoffs. But the Nets will be trying to separate themselves. So Nets play the Heat in their last game, by the way. That could be a crazy game. So the Nets will be trying, which we talked about that. We talked about the schedule stuff. The big stuff for the Nets, no injuries. Allen Crabbe is banged up, but he might be back for the playoffs. He won't be playing in this game. But other than that, he's not even there. You know, he's supposed to be their three-point shooting Mr. Man before the season started. That's been Joe Harris now. They still have D'Lo, who's killing it. They have Spencer Dinwiddie. They have Karras. They've got Jared Allen. You know, they've got a bunch of spry young dudes who are pretty good players, and that makes them a fun team to play. They're full of energy. Pacers haven't lost to him yet this year, though, so I don't think there's a ton of worry in terms of the win-loss. If they do lose, everyone will panic, which is going to be awesome. But since they plan on reducing minutes of key guys, I don't know that they're taking it so seriously in terms of the result. A lot of waiting is slowing D'Lo down. He's a good finisher from all over the field. There's a reason he's averaging 21.1 points per game. Same with Dinwiddie, those two guys, and they both play almost 30 minutes a game and average 17 points on decent efficiency, so you got to find a way to contain them. But the Pacers guard defense is actually pretty good, so I look forward to them trying to chess match their way past those guys. Caris LeVert's also a pretty good player, but he has not been as good since his injury. That makes a lot of sense. So it's just like they're a good team. They take a lot of threes and move the ball. It's like fun, but until they you know all are their final form of these young guys, they're kind of just like that. They're like a spry young team that can beat you with passing, but like no, like outside of D'Lo, you know, Dinwiddie's kind of wild. I don't feel like anyone's gonna just destroy you one on one. Now they have the vets and Rondé and their forward group my gosh, my basketball reference page just threw an ad up and it scrolled down like really far, so it's hard to read. There it is. Okay, Damari Carroll and Jared Dudley. You know, they've been playing a lot more. Good vets to play forward, set some good screens, space the floor, all that stuff. Ed Davis has been a good backup center for them. His defense has been fantastic this year. Travion Graham's all right for them. He doesn't play super much anymore. And then they have Rodions Kurucs. He's a rookie, second-round pick. He's been very good for them too. So they have like depth at forward, led by those veterans. But they're mostly just like a spry, like I said, a spry young shooting team. They're going to run a lot. I should have read it. They're 11th in pace, which, you know, is a lot, especially when you shoot a lot of threes. It seems even faster than it is. In three-point attempts per game, they're 5th this year and 6th in makes, about an average percentage. We'll make that happen, but you can have an average percentage when you take 36 threes a game. So the perimeter defense is going to have to be good. Force those guys off the line. You know, what's made D'Lo finally an all-star and effective this year is he's not getting to the line. I made that clear with Adam, but he's making all these mid-rangers, and when he does blow by guys, that's big for him. Because dudes are trying to run him off the line. He can shoot. I think that's the move, is to try to force him into those shots. But, like, he's shooting 51% from 10 to 16 feet. He's shooting 40% from 16 feet to the three-point line. He's shooting 44% from 3 to 10 feet. Those are very good percentages for mid-range shots. Like, no one else on that team is above 50% from 10 to 16 feet. So credit to him for knocking those down. That's a tough thing, though. He's also easily their key distributor with the first unit. 41.3 assist percentage is crazy. He's the guy setting everybody up. So slow down D'Lo, you slow down a lot of their stuff because a lot of the passes and shots run through him. I trust that the Pacers will game plan as such and try to make someone else beat him. It should be a fun one, but really keep an eye on the minutes. Make sure everybody's healthy. That's the whole game. That's the name of the game. But thank you guys for listening to this weekend edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Remember to check us out on Himalaya if you can. Great place for listening to podcasts. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at TEastNBA and the show at Locked On Pacers. We'll be back Monday, hopefully with a weekly show. Have a great rest of your weekend.